Well, last week, if you were here, we got to celebrate Easter and Resurrection Sunday. It was packed. There were a lot of people here and stuff like that. This week, what I want for us to do, or what I'd like for us to do, is to study, to really look at the resurrection. In October 12, 1990, it started like any other workday for Winston Bright. The 41-year-old, he got ready for his job as a switchman at New York Telephone, and he said goodbye to his wife and his three children, and he left for his office. And then during his lunch break, he called his wife, Leslie, and he told her he planned to be home somewhere around 5:30 p.m., and that brief chat was the last time his family heard from him. Winston Bright, he never returned to his apartment, and he became the subject of a missing person investigation. And for more than a year, his family and the New York Police Department detectives searched for him, but the manhunt came up empty. 10 years later, in 2000, Leslie Bright gave up any hope of ever seeing her husband again, and she had the courts declare him dead so that she could collect the pension and the insurance. Winston Bright, however, did reappear. He says that sometime back in 1990, he suffered from some sort of amnesia and forgot his identity, and he made his way to California, and he started a new life there. He assumed a new name and a new identity. But in 2007, those memories of his earlier life came flooding back to him. And with the help of his West Coast friends, he was able to piece together his past. And he tried to contact his wife and his children. But Leslie Bright and her three children, they did not welcome Winston back with open arms. In fact, they do not believe that Winston is their long lost and believed to be dead dad. Now, the most interesting part of this whole story was the headline. The headline read, "Dead man missing for 20 years, wants to be declared alive." You see, Jesus of Nazareth, he was verifiably dead. He was crucified with two thieves by Roman soldiers. And since the Jews did not want the bodies to remain on the cross on the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. Now, these soldiers, they are professional killers, and they know a dead body when they see one. Once a person dies, apparently the blood and the serum, the other liquid, it separates. And so when the soldier pierced Jesus' side, and what looked like blood and water came out, it was another clear indication that Jesus was already dead. Then Jesus, he is buried on late Friday afternoon. So when the women, they came to the tomb early on Sunday morning, they were expecting to see the corpse of Jesus lying there. Never in a million years did they expect to find Jesus alive. So this resurrection of Jesus that we find in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, which we'll look at this morning, it shows us what happened to the women at the empty tomb of Jesus. And the first thing that happened to them is they were perplexed. See, one of the difficulties that many of us have with the Easter story is actually because of our familiarity with it. We know and we believe that Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. And so we know that the story of Jesus' passion, his betrayal, the trials, the crucifixion, his death, and even his burial, it has a happy ending, his resurrection. But you see, that was not the case for Jesus' disciples. The women who went to the tomb that first Sunday morning, they were grief-stricken. They were depressed. They were exhausted. They were in mourning. Their beloved teacher had been killed in the prime of his life. His teaching had filled them with hope and expectation of a glorious kingdom of God. But sadly, they misinterpreted his teaching, and they thought that he's going to set up some political or some military kingdom rather than the spiritual kingdom. Nevertheless, when Jesus was crucified, all of their hopes were dashed. So the women, they went to the tomb of Jesus that first Sunday morning to complete the burial process. According to the Gospel of Mark, Mary wondered how they would get into the tomb. See, they expected to do their task, to shed some more tears, and then to just return home. Now, have any of you ever taken flowers to a gravesite at a cemetery? If you have, you know that when you get to that gravesite, the one that you're going to visit of your loved one, you do not expect to see an empty grave, do you? But if you did see an empty grave, what would you be thinking? What would be going through your head? You might wonder why somebody had exhumed the casket. You would wonder, what in the world would anybody ever want with the body of your loved one? Would it ever occur to you that your loved one has risen from the dead? Of course not. So, our scripture picks up at verse 1 in Luke chapter 24, and this is what Luke says. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, I'm sure that they're glad that the stone is rolled away because they'd been wondering how they were even going to get into the tomb. And then verse 3 says, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Although the strips of linen, verse 12 will tell us, the strips of linen were laying by themselves. They were still there. Now, understandably, while they're wondering about this, you see, the women, they're all perplexed at what has taken place, and they did not understand what had happened to the body of Jesus. In fact, Mary Magdalene, she goes as far as to say, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. You see, she did not know where the body of Jesus was. Had it been stolen? Had it been just placed in another tomb somewhere? At this point, the women simply did not know where the body of Jesus was. See, this empty tomb, it only intensified their grief. They were perplexed. But you see, they were also rebuked. And Luke, he goes on and he says that while the women are perplexed about all this, wondering what's taking place, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. These two men were, in fact, angels. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that Mary saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet. Luke describes them as being clothed in that gleamed like lightning. Verse 5 says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, to us, that might seem like just some harmless question, but it was, in fact, a rebuke to the women. You see, the angel has said to them that they were mistaken in coming to anoint the lifeless corpse when they should have known that Jesus would be alive. It was a monstrous mistake to look for the risen Lord in this tomb. So they were rebuked, but then they were also instructed. See, just in case the women did not understand what the angel was saying to them. The angels go on and said, "He is not here. He is risen." Can you imagine how these women must have felt when they heard those glorious words? You see, they thought someone had stolen or taken the body of Jesus away, but in fact, he is not there. He is alive. He has risen. And while they're processing all of those glorious words, the angel continues, and the angel says, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then as the angel finished explaining what had happened to Jesus, Luke says of the women in verse 8, "Then they remembered his words." You see, Jesus, he had predicted his death and his resurrection on several occasions. For example, just after Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ of God, Luke says in chapter 9 of verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." On another occasion, immediately after the transfiguration, he says to his disciples in the book of Mark, chapter 9, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." And when Jesus, he's leaving Galilee for the very last time with his disciples, and he's making his journey to Jerusalem, and he says to them in Luke chapter 18, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." You see, Jesus, he repeatedly told the disciples that he would be killed and that after 3 days, he would rise again. But you see, Jesus, he often spoke in parables and metaphors. And so they probably thought that his prediction about his resurrection after being dead for 3 days was some kind of parable or maybe some metaphor. However, after the angel's instructions to the women, they remembered his words. Commentator Kent Hughes, he says, "The great truth here for us is that the significance of the resurrection is inseparable from Jesus' prophetic word about his death and resurrection. It is the word of God that makes sense of everything." Now later on that very first Sunday, Jesus, he chided two disciples who were on their way to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and we'll look at that in a couple weeks. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Even a little bit later on, that same Sunday, Jesus appeared to the apostles in Jerusalem. And we read in Luke chapter 24, in verses 44 through 46, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." So how does anyone ever come about to believe the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead? At the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, every one of us comes to believe the good news of the gospel because we believe the word of God. Ken Hughes, he puts it this way. He says, "The prophetic word from Jesus And the entire corpus of the Bible is central to the gospel. Jesus' atoning death is only fully understood in light of the whole word. His resurrection is only understandable in conjunction with his word. In point of fact, those who actually rejected the prophetic word, the prophets, they also rejected the resurrection, just as Jesus said they would. In Luke chapter 16, he says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. One of the reasons that Billy Graham was such a powerful evangelist is because of his constant refrain. One refrain he used all the time, and that was, the Bible says. See, Billy Graham's sermons, they were not models of human persuasion, but rather they were powerful examples of biblical exposition, pointing people to the truth of God, his word, and challenging believers, challenging listeners to believe God's word because it is, in fact, the word of the living God. So let us be people of the book, people of the Bible. Let us read the word of God. Let us believe the word of God. Let us meditate on the word of God. Let us live the word of God. Since God is the divine author of the word of God, let us hear his word and let us heed his word. So the women, back to them, they're perplexed, they're rebuked, they're instructed. And finally, these women, they were witnesses. See, having remembered Jesus' words, and now understanding that Jesus was indeed alive, verses 9 and 10, it says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with whom, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now, notably, the very first people, the very first ones to proclaim that Jesus was alive, it was the women. Back in those days, a woman's testimony had no value at all. But constant throughout his entire gospel, Luke shows how highly Jesus valued women and their testimony about him. Astonishingly enough, this good news about Jesus' resurrection by the women to the 11 and all the others that were there, it seemed like an idle tale because in verse 11, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. See, like the women initially, the other apostles, they had not expected Jesus to rise from the dead. See, they too are also grieving the death of their beloved teacher and their master. What these women said to them was unbelievable, totally incomprehensible. But you see, to his credit, in verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen that were lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now in the Gospel of John, he went to the tomb, and then Peter came, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been over Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And then John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in and saw and believed. And then John makes a very interesting comment at John chapter 20 and verse 9. And he says, as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. It seems that the disciples, they still did not understand at this point that Jesus must rise from the dead. They clearly saw that the body was gone, because the linen cloths are lying there and the face cloth is by itself. So they at least understood that the body was gone. But they did not yet believe that Jesus was alive. It was not until later on when Peter saw Jesus on that Sunday evening that he came to understand and to believe the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the women, they were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And the other people that they went to and they were witnesses to, they should have believed their message. You see, as we've looked at this resurrection of Jesus that we find in Luke chapter 24, we should believe that Jesus is indeed alive. We should surrender our lives to him. One of the great truths that emerges from this narrative is that the disciples, they did not invent the resurrection story. See, they were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead at all. Even when they were presented with the evidence, they did not believe at first. See, they're not prone to making up some story about a dead man coming back to life again. In fact, Alexander McLaren, he said, the evidential value of the disciples' slowness to believe cannot be overrated. Kent Hughes, he goes on and he notes that the only reasonable explanation for all the apostles' devotion, even at the cost of their own lives and as they died, is that they saw the empty tomb, they met the risen Lord, and they came to believe the word of God. See, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So we wrap it up this morning. What about you? Do you believe that Jesus has risen from the dead? There's plenty of evidence to show that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. But at the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, I would urge you to believe Jesus and to believe the word of God, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures.